This is Cape Talk. Our book club selection today is the final installment of a trilogy by Indian-American writer Alka Joshi. It began with The Henna Artist, continued with The Secret Keeper of Jaipur, and it now reaches its conclusion in The Perfumist of Paris. And I wonder if any of you listening today have read the first two books and would like to tell us what you thought. I'd love to hear from you. Pop us a voice note to 072-567-1567 or an SMS to 31567. But don't worry if you haven't read the first two books, because neither had I. And I can vouch for the fact that The Perfumist of Paris reads perfectly well as a standalone novel. It is the story of Radha, an Indian woman living in Paris in the 1970s, whose busy life as a fragrance designer is haunted by secrets from her past. It was my pleasure to chat to the author, Alka Joshi, via Zoom earlier this week.
Before we talk about the book, Alka, can we just talk a little bit about your own story? I know you were born in India, but you moved to the US in childhood. Is that correct?
Correct. When I was 9 years old, my father decided to get a doctorate in civil engineering in the United States. So all of us, including my two brothers and my mom, we moved to the Midwest, which was kind of a shock, HIPAA, because the Midwest is not the most cosmopolitan of places. So a lot of people had never even realized where India was. They asked me if it was anywhere close to Texas. Ultimately, I made my way to Stanford University, and I was so delighted I did, because in California, there was more diversity. People had traveled. They understood where India was, and that's all I could ask for.
You talk about the cosmopolitan nature of California and finding sort of a sense of community there that you didn't have before. But I know, having read some previous interviews with you, that it was looking back on your own family community that was something of a trigger towards the writing, and in particular, reflecting on your mother's life that really planted the seed for this trilogy in particular. I believe it was a trip back to India that really helped you start seeing her from a different perspective. Won't you tell us a bit more?
Many trips to India. When I was in my MFA program, I was 52 years old, and my mother was in her 70s, and she wanted to go back to India, reconnect with family and friends and so on. So I took her back there probably 4 or 5 times during that period. And I saw India through her eyes, which I hadn't seen before. She showed me the sari vendors that she would buy from. She showed me the jewelry that she would buy in the jewelry bazaar. She showed me the fruits and vegetables that she cannot get in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to see what she loved about India. It gave me that much of a positive perspective on it. But also what happened is that I began to see how restricted and different her life had been than mine had been. She had raised me to be so independent, to decide on my own what I wanted to study, where I wanted to go to school, whom I wanted to marry, whether I wanted to have children. And what I didn't realize was that she was giving me the opposite of how she had been raised, because she wanted my life to not be restricted as hers had been. I just found that so positive. I just found it so heartwarming that she had done that for me, and I wanted to thank her. So that is why I created this character of Lakshmi that runs throughout all of my novels, who is in the image of my mother, but she gets to do all the things my mother didn't get to do. And she leaves her marriage, and she becomes the celebrated henna artist, and she develops her healing skills. Mm. I think my mother would have loved all of that, but she didn't get a chance. And through my fiction, she does get a chance to do that.
You said you saw what your mother loved about India. Importantly to this book, did you smell what your mother loved about India? Was the idea of fragrance as being part of that journey something that was playing in your head already? Or did that come later?
When you are born as a South Asian and you have spent any time in the Indian subcontinent, you are inundated with scents from the moment you are born. You are smelling your mother's chai, and then you are smelling all of the cooking that's going on, the turmeric, the curries, the chilies. And then you step outside of your house and you will see the cow walking across the street, eating some sort of vegetable matter that somebody has thrown on the street for them. And you smell the coconut oil of the tuk-tuk driver or the rickshaw guy. Yeah. So you are inundated with scents. And I just remember all of those scents. I remember what it felt like and where exactly I was the first time that I smelled those things. So I think that it wasn't so much that I became aware of sense. It was a reawakening when we went back to India. It was a remembrance of all of the things that had happened to me as a child.
We meet the character of Radha as a confident woman in her 30s. She is married. She's living this wonderful life in Paris. She's got two young daughters, and she is on the cusp of a real breakthrough in her career as a fragrance designer. That's how I encountered her for the first time. Readers who've enjoyed the previous two books will know that there is a very different background to that story of the teen mother who was betrayed and forced to give up her son. And of course, you weave those two together through the course of this book. But the world of fragrance design was just so thrilling to read about and immerse yourself in. Tell us a little bit about what made you want to explore that as a setting for this novel.
Radha has always been interested in combining ingredients and figuring out what the interaction of them would be. When she was 13 years old and working with her sister in the henna artist, she was mixing the henna paste. And her sister, who had been doing it for years, said that Radha was combining it finer and silkier than she had ever been able to. And then when she was in the village, Radha was combining paint for this old man who used to paint these people leaf skeletons. Radha just had an instinct about what kind of ingredients you would have to combine and the chemistry involved. Mm. So when she gets to France, she is now married to Pierre. She has two little girls, and she is immersed in the world of perfume because, as you know, France is known as the perfume capital of the world. And what better place for her to play with a number of different ingredients and figure out their interaction than the world of perfume? So, yes, she is now completely immersed in that culture and she wants to become a master perfumer.
What sort of research did you have to do to immerse yourself in that world in order to write as convincingly as you do?
I was having lunch with my producer of the Henna Artist TV series that's in development at Netflix. And I said, I'm writing this book about perfume, Michael. What do you know anything about perfume? So he said, I have a wonderful friend, Anne Gottlieb in New York City, and you should meet her because she is behind the creation of all of these amazing iconic perfumes like J'adore and CK1 and so on. So I did meet with Anne. I flew out to New York City. She had me meet with a couple of master perfumers who were very enlightening. And then she took me into a fragrance lab where I had a chance to see exactly how Radha would perform and where she would be working. And she would be wearing a white lab coat and she would be in this milieu of all of these scent vials. So I understood also then how the lab assistant works with a master perfumer, which all made its way into the book. Mm. Those people in New York City said, you need to go to Paris because that's really where a lot of this stuff is getting created. All right. So I fly to Paris. I meet with master perfumers there, both in large houses and in boutiques. And they said, you need to go to Grasse in the southeastern part of France because that is where perfume is compounded. It's bottled and so on. So I went to Grasse and I met with perfumers there. And of course, went to plants and factories where the stuff is compounded. Then they said, you need to go to Lisbon because there's a couple of other people there. Now, I know that everybody thinks, wow, this is such a glamorous thing. You know, you get to go all over to do your research. But that is one of the ways in which I do research. I need to go to the setting of where it is that my characters are living and breathing. And for Radha, one of the things I did was I stayed in Paris for 2 weeks at an apartment that I had picked out because that is exactly what I thought Radha and Pierre would be doing. I thought they would be living in this apartment. That was the furniture in the apartment. So that's the apartment that I describe in The Perfumist of Paris. And during those 2 weeks, I went down, it was a fourth floor walk up. So I go down the stairs and the stairwell. And that, as you know, is where Radha and Mathilde meet at a very crucial point in the book. Then I would walk out the door. I would go down to the right and two blocks where I imagined Radha would get her croissant in the morning or her bread. And then I knew that the international school was to the left and another mile away. So these are the ways in which my research actually makes its way into the book and helps me with the setting. So, yes, I did research into the world of perfume, but also into the world of Radha.
You were sent from Paris to Grasse to Lisbon. At what point did you realize, actually, the fragrance journey has got to take me back to India?
Oh, my goodness. That was an amazing find. I think I was talking to my dad, And I said, Dad, you know, do you know anything about these attars in India? And he said, honey, first of all, we call them ithar. We don't call them attars. That's something that the Western world calls them. And he said that he remembered when he was a kid, you know, Dad was born in 33. So he is pre-independence, during independence, post-independence, those kind of memories. He's now 93 years old. But he said to me that the men in the villages would get a cotton swab and they would immerse it in some kind of attar and they would put it in their ears and they would smell good all day.
Oh.
And he said one of those scents was this attar of oil, of soil, and that is Mithi Ithar. So then I started researching Mithi Ithar and I found that, my goodness, it has been used for thousands of years in India and that it is the soil that's collected after the monsoon rains. Mm. And it has this wonderful earthy and sweet kind of smell. So I was like, oh, my goodness, does the Western world know about this? And I found out that it was only in the last 20, 30 years that they discovered this scent. So, yes, I thought Radha has to go to India to discover the scent that she is missing for her project, which is the Olympia project.
Yeah.
And another thing that I think I found as I had to have her go back to India is that oftentimes I think we have to go back to the source of our being in order to find ourselves, you know, the innermost shrine, the thing that makes us us. And I think this is exactly what Radha finds. She finds herself in India. And she finds that there is no place where she feels more at home, mm-hmm. which is also, I think, one of the themes of the book. How do you find home?
Yeah. And to extrapolate that, that's not only Radha's quest, that is also the quest of the young boy in the story, or the young man in the story, I should say, without giving away too much of the plot. This is a book that speaks to the wound of adoption and the search for healing and meaning and parent that comes with so many adoption stories. And I don't want to say much more than that because the readers must explore that for themselves. But it's one of many different themes of what make up the many facets of a woman. I mean, one of the things I really loved about and related to about Radha's story was the juggling act. I'm sure any working woman reading the book will recognize it, the pressure she feels to try and be her best and perform at work in the face of professional jealousy, in the face of opposition at home to some extent, the feeling of never quite getting it right and always that fear of failure that as you're juggling all those balls, you know, one is going to drop and which one will it be this time? I mean, that's a very universal story. Doesn't matter where you set it, what decade you place it in. But it was interesting to me to contrast that. So Radha's story and her struggle as a very modern woman pushing some boundaries in some respects. And then traveling back to India and meeting the women, the courtesans, with her sister Lakshmi takes her to explore Sen further in Agra, to see a woman who had also carved out a very unique space for themselves in a way that society didn't always approve of, in which they'd found a kind of stature for themselves that might not be recognizable to somebody who doesn't know their history. Won't you just tell us a little bit more about their story?
That was just fascinating. Another part of my research, the courtesans of India are like the geishas of Japan. They are schooled in the arts of classical music, classical poetry, classical instrumentation, and literature. So this is how they entertain the men when they come to the houses in the evening. They're not common prostitutes. And one of the things that they set up for themselves is this idea that they could control their fate because they are the only women in the house. So all of the money that's collected in the house, they buy houses, they buy factories, they buy businesses. They are wealthy. And one of the things that they do is they pass on that wealth only to their daughters. The daughters and sons who are born in the house, they all get to live there. They are tutored and they have a nice life. But when the boys come of age, they are told to get out of the house and the daughters have a chance to decide, are they going to stay there or are they going to pursue some kind of higher education? One of the things that happened with these courtesans is in the 1857 mutiny in India, it was a failed mutiny, but the courtesans had actually helped finance it. When the British found out that the courtesans had done that, they actually started calling them common prostitutes and really hurt their reputation and the source of their livelihood. A lot of Maharajas and Nawabs did not want to come to them any longer if that was their reputation. But a few of them really survived. Some of these houses were very successful. And once again, in 1947, during India's independence movement, they rose to help that movement and they financed that as well. I loved finding this out about them. I was so excited because I think so many of us think that women who are in that position are somehow powerless, are mm-hmm. somehow not able to fulfill their destinies or be self-actualized. But I think that there is room for those women also in our consciousness, and maybe we could imbue them with a little more respect. Can I just tell you, one of the other things that I really think is important, and I put this in every single book that I write, and this comes from my mother. It's like I'm channeling my mother mm-hmm. because she really felt that every woman has a right to determine her destiny. That is, of course, how she fashioned my life, but it's also the way I want my characters to inspire other women. And they have. One of the amazing things, and I think one of the most fascinating things that's happened is that readers around the world see me as somebody and the characters as people they can follow, that they can emulate. And especially young women find these kind of stories very inspiring because they feel that they can control what's happening in their lives, that they don't have to do exactly what society is telling them to do. So I found that really surprising and meaningful. And the other thing that's happened is that I'm now 65 years old. I didn't start writing until I was in my 50s. And this whole idea that, our lives end at 60, or, people start thinking I'm going downhill now. I'm on the last part of my life. I think it's lovely that people realize, hey, there's so much more we can do in our lives, and that maybe this is just starting a new chapter. Going into another decade is just starting a new chapter, and you can do amazingly creative things to inspire other people.
That was Indian-American author Alka Joshi talking to me about her latest book, The Perfumist of Paris, which is being distributed in South Africa via Jonathan Ball Publishers. It's in stores now at around about 350 Rand a copy. And you can also look out for the first two books in the trilogy, The Henna Artist and The Secret Keeper of Jaipur.